Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to go before the people of God so that we could fellowship together in the Word of God, where we could hear what the Spirit has to say, and we could see the mighty hand of God, how he operates in the lives of his people. And tonight is no exception to the rule, but I come with a spirit of expectancy, expecting that the Holy Ghost would have his way on tonight, that the information that I give out, that he will give it to you with revelation of the truth of God. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule to show up on Wednesday night at the 8:30 hour. God is pleased when we take time to fellowship one with another. And God says in the Word of God that we should study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what we're doing on tonight. And that's how I can say it, beyond a reasonable doubt, that God is pleased. Each and every one of us who has joined in has put ourselves in position see what God has for us on tonight. And for that, I say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, our lesson tonight, the title of it is A Part of God's Master Plan for the Foundation of the World. A part of God's master plan before the foundation of the world. And if you have your Bible, go to Joshua, the second chapter. Maybe when you heard this, you wonder what was the intent and how did I come up with this title? Well, as we study the word on tonight, we'll see God operating in the life of Rahab. And it was all a part of God's plan. Every step that was taken, every move that was made, everything was all a part of God's plan before the foundation of the world. So that's how I chose it. Whatever you did on today, it was a part of God's plan. Nothing happened unless he orchestrated or allowed. God has the whole world in his hand and everybody in it. So tonight the lesson is a part of God's master plan. I'm going to reveal a part of his plan. This is a small part, but it's a part of God's master plan. And it was formulated before the foundation of the world. You see, when God said, let there be, his whole master plan was already orchestrated, designed, strategically planned, and it was placed in motion. And then everything began to happen. So everything that happened is a part of his master plan. And we have to know that. We have to believe it. And once we believe it, it began to achieve it for what it is, we could begin to rest. We could begin to trust God with his creation, including ourselves. So that's it for that title in the scripture for tonight. And I'm going to go ahead and play a song. And this song is called The Master Plan. It's sung and written by Tamla Mann, and I'm going to play it at this time.
You're gone.
That record lets us know, and I want to tell you tonight, that God has a master plan. And it was formulated within him before anything that is was created. You see, in the beginning, God spoke all of his master plan into existence. And it's evolving day by day. But in his master plan, each and every one of us was included. You see, Jeremiah 29:11 says, the Lord knows the thoughts that he has towards us, thoughts of good and not evil, to give us an expected end. Do you believe it tonight, y'all? God had a purpose, a design, a reason, and a season for your life. At this time, we'll have our prayer. If someone on the line would like to pray, just press the one button on your phone, and I'll open a mic. God is presenting this opportunity. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of our every perfect gift, the God with a master plan before the foundation of the world, a God that has an intended purpose for all of our lives. God, we realize we was created for your glory. Hallelujah. We were created to give you praise and honor and glory, dear God. And in your master plan, you situated how we would be able to do it. But God, all of the benefits are there. The instructions, the Bible is there. But we as individuals have to decide that that's what we want to do. Lord, as we come to you tonight, because the word of God says that we should study to show ourselves approved as workmen, we need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. Also, God, you said in your word that you ask that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. And Lord, that's why we fellowship in one with another, the body of Christ, as we explore the word of God tonight. Lord, I am positioned to be used by you. I realize it's not predicated on me. But I'm just here as a vessel, dear God, a vessel made of clay, brittle and easily broken. But it's not by my might nor my strength, but it's all about you, dear God. And God, we're going to take a journey and realize that everything is by your grace, all things through Christ Jesus. We're going to see that, dear God. We're going to realize that, dear God, and we're going to hold on to it, dear God. Teach us how to enter into rest, dear God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and thank God. Well, it's time to get into the lesson. I pray that each and every one of you has shown up with a heart of thanksgiving, thanking God for the opportunity to be able to be in the body of Christ, thanking him for allowing us to be partakers in the household of faith, thanking for allowing us to fellowship together as we expound on the word of God. Lord, we just want to say thank you. So at this time, I'm going to say the title of the lesson again, the scripture where it's coming from, and then I'm going to do a background. Well, the title of our lesson tonight is A Part of God's Master Plan Before the Foundation of the World. And for those who have their Bibles, you could turn to the book of Joshua, the second chapter. And I'm going to do a little bit of information for you before we go into the scriptures, as I do every Wednesday night. So I'm going to let you know that when I read these scriptures that we're going to expound on, I saw the hand of God working all things out in the life of Rahab for her good and his glory. You see, God had an intended purpose in mind for her before the foundation of the world to give her an expected end. Everything is by God's grace through Christ Jesus. So I'm going to tell you some things about Rahab. And when we get in the lesson, you could take her character, take what was given to you about her, and see how God operate with her is the goal for tonight. You see, the first thing I want you to know that she was a woman. And she was a woman living in a time when women were mistreated, they was devalued, they was taken for granted on every side. But yet, I'm talking about Rahab. How remarkable then that the writer of the book of Hebrews choose two women and only two women to highlight. For those of you who don't know, if you take down notes and go to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 11th chapter is called the Hall of the Faith Hall of Fame. God elaborate on those that he felt had this great faith, and they're listed, and that particular chapter is called the Faith Hall of Fame. And I want you to know that Rahab is in there. I'm talking about Rahab. You see, by including a woman, period, and even a woman like Rahab, the writer wanted us to know that the ground is leveled. It's on level ground. No respect of person, inclusive at the foot of the cross. No big eyes, no little U's. Everyone is welcome. Whosoever will, let them come. No matter your background, no matter what you've been through, no matter your hurts, no matter your sorrow, no matter your pain, the ground is leveled at the foot of the cross. There's no highs and lows. The writer wanted us to know that. And even in this degraded woman's life, she would be included in the Faith Hall of Fame equally with all the other men and one woman, Sarah, Abraham's wife. With all of those heavy faith hitters. Come on, y'all. Read it, Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And she was on equal basis with men of the household of faith, listed in the Faith Hall of Fame. Check it out for yourself. And the second thing I want you to know that she was a harlot. And you know what a harlot is. And you see, some wish to downplay that fact and see and try to soften it. Come on, y'all. They have people that read the Bible and in the Bible there's a scripture say bastard. They refuse to say it. Come on, y'all. So she was a harlot, and some would say a prostitute, and some would say a whore. And then many tried to downplay the fact and seek to soften the impact by translating the word to innkeeper. But there is no need to do it. The fact that she was a harlot signifies the grace of God by demonstrating that even the lowest of the low could find a place in God's family. Hallelujah, y'all. See the hand of God. You got to remember Jesus Christ provided us grace, and grace is for sinners, because the only ones that need to be saved are sinners. So Rahab stand as a beacon of hope, hope to the broken, hurting, bruised, fallen men and women everywhere who look in the mirror and feel that there's no hope for me. See, God gave us example. God showed us how he work in the lives of people. God said he don't allow your past to dictate your future. God loves all of us equally. And the Bible says all fall short of the glory of God. All sin has fall. All has sinned and fell short of the glory of God. But we often want to point a finger, especially when we could see someone's outward sin. But sometimes if you go look in a mirror and you evaluate yourself, you could see a little bit in you too. But long as you think people can't see it, you think it's all right. Feel that way, then consider that Rahab was a harlot. But I'm talking about now, right here. I believe she's in heaven. And if God can save her, he could save anybody. The third thing I want you to know about Rahab, she was a Gentile. And those of you who know the word of God chose the Jews, the Israelites, to be his chosen people. During that time, Gentiles was not accepted. God had appointed time in that master plan I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's master plan, that he would invite them in, and he was always doing things to bring them in bits and pieces so that when he starts teaching that it's for everybody and he opened the door for everybody, they could accept it as true, because they could say, well, Rahab was a Gentile. She wasn't the only one, y'all. But Rahab was a Gentile. Not only was she a Gentile, she was a foreigner. And she was raised in a pagan religion. As such, she did not belong to the Israelites. She wasn't a chosen person. She wasn't even being taught the word of God. She was not worshiping God. And we're in the Old Testament, and Jesus hadn't came yet, y'all. But I think this is the prime example of the scripture where they say, faith the size of a mustard seed. See, she wasn't none of that. She wasn't taught. You see, but yet, by faith, she was accepted by God. And not only God, but his people. And when the Israelites attacked Jericho, she was spared while the city around her was destroyed. Hallelujah. We see here tonight how God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. I'm talking about Rahab tonight. Her life illustrates God's promise. Y'all know the story that he made to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 and 3, that through his descendants, that's why we call Abraham father. Father Abraham had many sons and many sons. We used to sing that in elementary school. Father Abraham had many sons and many sons had father Abraham. That's why they say we are the children of Abraham. Hallelujah. Because God made the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 and 3, that through his descendants, all the nations on the earth would be saved. And I'm going to talk about one more thing, and I'm going to be done, because we're going to get into what happened with Rahab. You see, what happened to Rahab after the fall of Jericho? We know this much. She married a Jewish man named Salmon. And together they had a son named Boaz, whose name popped up in the book of Ruth. Boaz and Ruth gave birth to Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse is the father of David, who became God's chosen king of Israel. Get the picture? Get the picture? Hundreds of years later, after the Old Testament had even ended, the first book in the New Testament, which is the book of Matthew, and all of y'all who have read Matthew know it starts with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So if you want to know the genealogy of Jesus Christ, go to the book of Matthew, start in the first chapter, and read. And you'll see the name Rahab. The harlot made the list. What a mighty God we serve. She's part of Jesus' family tree. And she will forever be known as Rahab, not the harlot, as some people want to just keep saying. You know, they have people that change their life. They might have was an alcoholic or a drug addict or something like that. And, you know, when somebody talk about them, they always want to put that past title on them. They don't want to let them walk in their new name. But you see, she will be forever known as Rahab, the child of God, and that her past did not dictate her future. And from this, we see God can change our name. So tonight, I just want to say glory, hallelujah to God. And we fixing to go into the lesson now, y'all. I'm in the second chapter, first verse, and I'm going to start reading. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out to Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house, named Rahab, the scripture, y'all, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, and this is what he said to her. He said, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out the country. Y'all know, let me say this. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wittest not hence they are. In other words, they came, but I don't know where they at. Now, this Rahab in her hometown with her people, and the king and his men came in to question her because the men had came to spy. Jericho was the first property in the promised land that God had promised to Abraham. You got to realize all of the land in the promised land, land of Canaan, had people living on it. So the Israelites had to go in and subdue the land. They had to go in and destroy and do whatever God tell them to do to everything on the land, and it became their land. For those who already may know, that's why the war in Iraq and Iran and all of them places is called a holy war. Because them generations and generations and generations from way back then who were living on the land that God gave to the Israelites still feel like it's their land. And every time you see a war, it's always about land. So the Israelites was coming to capture the land of Jericho. Rahab was in like a building. It was a tower because by her having a house of ill repute and it was a brothel, she was right there at the gate. You see, in Jerusalem and all of those cities like that, there's walls around them. Everything is gated because that's the way they live. We have burglar bars. They had walls around the whole city. Like Donald Trump tried to put the walls for the immigrants not to get in. So they had walls, and her, where she stayed was a tall tower-like, and she stayed there, and it was right at the gate, so when strangers come in and they wanted the company of women, they will go right there to Rahab's house. So we see that the spies had went to Rahab's house, so they probably figured that they would be less recognized with so many people, strangers, and everything coming in and out. And they went there. You see, the spies went to Rahab's place. And that's why I told you they thought it would probably be safe. They wouldn't be recognized. But word got back to the king that two men to scout out Jericho, and they were seen at Rahab's place. They went in question, and we know what she said. They was here, but I don't know where they at. So if we look at the next verses, verse 5 all the way through 9, and it says, it came to pass about the time of shedding the gates. That's the gates I was telling you about. When it was dark, that the men went out. Hither, the men went, I wrought not. They questioned us. This is her answer. And it came, she said, when it got time for the close the gate, the men went out. She was giving them, sending them the wrong way, telling them the men is already out the gate. She said, go after and pursue them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them to the roof of the house and hid them in a stalk of flax. That was like dried materials, plant material they used, and they would make things with them. And it was up there drying on the roof, which she had laid in order up on the roof. She had that, so she took them in and put them under that so they wouldn't be seen. And the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan, unto the forest. And as soon as they had pursued after them, were gone, they shut the door. So she told them, the spies got out the gate. So the men who was going to pursue them went out the gate. When the men who pursued them went out the gate, they took and they shut the gate, because at night you protect yourself. That's why the scripture said it was getting dark. So the men, the army went outside the gate, and then the people shut the gate. And before they had laid down, they probably saying that it had got late, and before the men went to sleep, she came, this is the scripture, she came unto them upon the roof. And verse 9 said, and she laid unto the men, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the habitats of the land faint because of you. She hid the men. She said, with her mouth, you know, I done seen what God been doing. So I'm going to read that now, because I'm going to read the scriptures, but watch this. In verse 10, she said, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. I know how, I believe all of y'all know that when God opened the Red Sea and the Israelites walked over to dry land when they was escaping the slavery in Egypt. And she said she heard about it. News travel, y'all know, huh? She said, I heard how God dried the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites. You see, one piece of land was for the Jordan River. And after the Jordan River, all the way in the territory was the land of Canaan. I don't have time for to see everything, but you just check it out. And the only reason I'm saying this, because she say right here, she say, I know what you did to the kings of the Amorites. The Amorites was on the opposite side of the Jordan. So the Amorites lived here. Then this was the Jordan River. And then this was Jericho. But when God gave them the land, two of the 12 tribes decided to stay on that side of the Jordan. And God was with them, and they won the battle of the Amorites, and they subdued all of the land from the Amorites. Three and a half of the tribes stayed on that side. She said, I know what y'all did on the other side of the Jordan. And then she said, Sihon and Og, which they utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now this lady sat on a wall handling her business, you know, but she thinking. And she only heard what God did. But evidently she believed it. That's why they say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as I said earlier, she did not study their religion. She did not believe in God as the only true and living God. But yet she heard of him and his power and how he was with them and how they was able to do everything. Because they say when God be with you, who could be against you? She believed it, y'all. So she hit him. Smart lady. And next we're going to see why. I'm talking about Rahab, y'all. She believed God was the one. They was probably worshiping Baal and the God of the moon and Diana, the fertility God. They had all kind of gods. And remember, she was a Gentile, and she was a foreigner, and yet she heard about God and believed. And so in verse 12, they say, now therefore I pray you, this is her talking, swear unto me by your Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will show kindness unto my father's house and give me a token. 13, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sisters. And then the scriptures say, and all that they have, all that they have, they livestock, they material things, you know, leave them be intact, save them. And deliver our lives from death. And verse 14 said, and the men answered her, our life for your life, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. They telling her, look, we heard what you want. You know, Rahab was telling them, look, I done did this, let's make a deal. She told them what she wanted, and they said, our life for your life. And look what they told her, if ye utter not this our business, now if you tell it or you give us up, the vow is broken. We don't have to hold on to any promises that we make you. And look what they say next in the scripture. If y'all don't have your Bible, you're really missing some good things that you could see the hand of God. And it said, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Look what they told him. Okay, you hit us. You saved our life. You showed us kindness. We're going to do the same. She told him straight out. The Bible said, whatever you want, make it plain. She said, I want you to save my mama, my daddy, my sisters, my brothers, and everybody else that I have in my house, and not just us, but all of our stuff. And they agreed. And the one thing I love about Rahab, they have so many selfish people in the world. Remember, Rahab hadn't studied the word of God. She was not one of God's chosen people. But Rahab, when she got ready to ask for the deal to be made, she didn't leave nobody out in her family. See, selfishness is when you're only out for yourself. Rahab could have got saved and went on about her business. See, but that's the sign of true conversion. She's now concerned for the faith, the safety of her extended family. And she didn't say that everybody had to be kin to me now. Rahab probably took her little friends because she had a big old house. Because you're going to see how the deal go down. Because look what she said. My mother, my father, my brothers, my sister, and all that they have. And deliver our lives from death. She didn't want to be saved alone. She wanted to take people with her. How many people are only concerned about themselves? And then the scriptures pick up back at 15. The scripture goes on and says, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. Remember I told you about the gate. Her house was tall. She used to sit at the top of the gate, beckoning for the people to come. And she dwelled upon the wall. 16. And she said unto them, let you go to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may ye go your way. She said, look, I done sent them the other way. The gate is locked, but I'm going to let you down, but you're going to be on the other side of the gate. You're gonna be all right to go because I'm on the wall of the gate, and the gate right here, I'm on the wall. So when I let you down, you're going to be in front of the locked gate. Now, go to the mountains. In 3 days, they're going to come back if they don't find you. So after 3 days, just hide for 3 days, and then you go, and you're going to be all right. And the men said to her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou had made us swear. Back then, if you made an oath, your word was your bond. If you say that you did it, all that's out the window these days. So they wanted to let her know plainly. They say, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line, the scarlet thread, and the window which thou doest let us down by. That rope you letting us down, that scarlet rope, thread, you better hang it out the window. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brother and all thy father's household home into thee. They said, now, get them together and have them ready. They came because if someone is not here, we're not going to be held accountable for it. She said, so make sure you get all your people. Get them all together and get them ready and put them in this house for the protection. And when we come, the window that rope is out, that rope, we're not gonna listen, we're not going to do any harm. And everybody within that is going to be saved. He said, but if you got some cousins or other people hanging around in the city, he said, we ain't going to have time to try to figure out who to. So we're not going to be held accountable for them if they're not in this room. If they're not in this room where the window is with the red threads hanging on it. So he's telling them. We make it clear this how it's going to be done. And then he says, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head if something happened to him. And if any hand be up on him, if any of them get hurt and they're in this house, we're going to pay for it. Hallelujah. And verse 20 said, and if thou other this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou had made us swear. And verse 21, and she said, according unto your word, so be it. See, when you making plans, and you got to understand what God is asking you to do to really be able to do it. They got a clear understanding. They accepted each other by their word. And she said, so be it. And she went away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. She went immediately and put the line in the window. And that was a sign of smartness and wisdom, too, because she don't know when they was coming back. She don't have no insight or nobody giving her word on it. So she got prepared. You see, that's why we have to prepare ourselves for the thing of God. There's a parable in the Bible about the five wise and five foolish virgins. For a reason, that parable is telling us how we have to be prepared. And tonight, Rahab is showing us that you have to do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. And you might ask the question, why a scarlet cord, a rope? You see, in the chaos of the battle that's gonna take place, scarlet cord would be easily seen by the attacking army. But if you really look deeper into it, it is symbolism here at work. You see, the scarlet cord remind us of the blood of Jesus at the Passover. For those of you that's familiar with the Passover, you know that's when they was going to leave out of Egypt and God told them to kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, and the dead angel was going to come and kill all of them firstborn in Egypt. But if they had blood on their doorpost, the dead angel was going to pass their house up. And see, tonight we see Rahab put out that scarlet rope. And when the attack come in, everybody in her house is going to be spared. What a mighty God we serve. And the color, I don't believe, is no coincidence. This was a scarlet cord that guaranteed her deliverance from otherwise certain death. Note that as soon as the spies left, Rahab tied the scarlet cord on the window so everyone could see it. She had no idea when the attack would come, like I said earlier. And by her doing what she's supposed to do, preparing herself, are we preparing ourselves for what we want from God? Are we going around lackadaisical, you know, doing it maybe, maybe not, if I want, if I don't want? You got to prepare. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. We know it's prepared because Jesus said after he left the earth to go sit at the right hand of the Father, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it wasn't so, I would have told you. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And we are being prepared for our eternal life here on earth. That's why I say it, only the things that you do for Christ is going to last, because everything else is going to be dissolved with a fervent heat. There is rewards. Jesus said when he comes back in the rapture, he's going to have his rewards in his hand. And the Bible teaches us about the five crowns of God. So they are rewards. And then, of course, each and every one of us should want God to be able to say, servant, well done. Here is the key. Rahab heard the promise and did something about it. What would have happened if Rahab forgotten about it and never got around to tying the scarlet cord outside our window? That would have been something, huh, y'all? You know how we say, I forgot, I was too busy. I didn't think about it. I didn't think it was necessary. I thought, no, this is a good one. I don't think they're coming back soon, so I have time to put it out there. Look how she would have lost out, y'all. She would have died like everybody else. It's never enough merely to hear the truth. You got to become a doer of what you hear. Hearing the truth must move you into action sooner than later. Amen? Rahab the harlot, this simple woman who sold her body for money, made the hall a fame of faith. Now, some people will say she made it because she helped the spies. Some say, you know, she helped God by hiding the spies. Some may say, you know, she made the Hall of Fame because of whatever. But I come to tell you tonight, yes, she did make the Faith Hall of Fame. And the only reason she made it was because of her faith. Her faith is what she had. Saving the helping the spies was her work. That's why they say faith without works is dead. Her faith is what saved her. What she did with the spies was the work. Come on, y'all. You see, when the chips were down, she believed the promise and did something about it. And that simple scarlet cord saved her life. It's so amazing, y'all, when we think about it and we see Rahab the harlot. She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't an Israelite. She didn't practice Judaism, because that was the religion for the Jews at that time. But yet, when she heard about all that God did, she believed it. And because she believed it, that faith, she gained faith. And then she moved on her faith. And that was a smack brand new baby in God. And many of us have been on the battlefield for a long time. Faith produces action. Assured. And the scripture say you'd only need the faith of a mustard seed. You know how small a mustard seed is. And I believe Rahab's faith was that little, but yet she acted on it. She told him, I know what your God could do. And I know how he took care of that town and them people, the Amorites. I know they're going to, she was saying, I know they're going to tear up Jericho. But what she was saying, when you come back, remember me. Hey, you remember the sinner on the cross told Jesus, when you get in your kingdom, remember me. Rahab was telling the men of God, when you come back and take over this town and this and all of this, she said, remember me. She was a sinner, but she saved by grace. You see, faith is what gives us grace. When we believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus grant us grace. This is the Old Testament. Jesus wasn't born, but Rahab believed God accounted it for righteousness towards her, which translated into faith, and faith provides with grace. Grace provides salvation. And that's the lesson tonight. Any comments or concerns or anybody want to comment on the lesson or add something that they may know about Rahab that I didn't say or anything? This is our time, y'all. God has fixed it so we could get on here and talk and fellowship with one another. On Wednesday night, we come here to fellowship with one another. And at the end of the program, we have time where we could talk with one another. So if anyone would like to have anything to say at this time, press the one button on your phone. And I'll open your mic. Well, if that's it for tonight, I just want to say glory, hallelujah. Again, I thank each and every one of you for coming. If it's your will and God, if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back on Wednesday night, same time, same station, 8:30 hour, Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And again, I'm your host, Diane Adams, and it is my desire and my prayer for each and every one of you that God be with you until we meet again. So go in peace, and may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding be with you always. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everybody.